live from Tampa Bay, USA. This is the Good News with Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake weak. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking.
Catching that buzz. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. The only 13th of June, 2012 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to give a great one. Now, this would be the Jimmy Cliff thing now. There we go.
To drag me underground.
And they think that they have got the battle.
They think they've got the battle won.
I say forgive them, Lord. They know not what they've done. Cause as sure as the
oppressors
sun,
take many forms, many shapes, many guises. And that's what this radio webcast is dedicated and designed to do, to lift the oppression, the shackles from the minds, the souls of the beautiful humans that are logged on across the globe. Welcome in on this Good News Wednesday night. Glenn Klein Online in studio here in the beautiful Bay of Tampa with the very beautiful as well and talented and lovely Sean O'Halloran directly to my right. Seanage. He is on literal slow-mo. What is up with you, dude?
Got home real late last night.
According to your previous report, it was very early this morning, actually.
Yeah.
We love to be accurate on the good news, my friend. You gonna be able to make it?
Yeah.
The dedication, the loyalty of Sean O'Halloran is impressive, and his stature and the cut of his jib, if you will, is also very impressive. We are asking you to participate early and often by giving Sean a call so you keep him up, alert, ready to rock and roll. The Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline in North America is 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. We dare you, we double-dog dare you to give us a call and let us hear what's on your mind tonight at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening around the globe and it's a few minutes after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the United States of America, that is your cue to give us a call at 813-425-5773, 425-7773. Yes, the show is dedicated, ladies and gentlemen, to lifting the shackles of oppression. And most of the shackles of oppression, especially in Western cultures, and even a lot of cultures that are so-called third world cultures, Eastern cultures, are literally just shackles of the mind. And that is the most powerful thing about the good news, about the gospel, is that it releases the soul to its full potential. You have been made righteous. You are perfect. You are holy. You are sinless. You are without spot, without wrinkle. You are heaven-bound. You're perfect, you guys. The thought of that, the meditation of that, allows you to think more logically and more rationally, because the imputation that was purchased for you at the day of the Lord, the day of judgment at Golgotha of the cross, there's so many ways to describe this pivotal moment, but where one race of human beings ceased to exist, that was the lineage of Adam, and the new race was born again, if you will, the lineage of Yeshua, the last Adam, Paul called him. That is the existence we now live in. And the meditation of that fact actually produces salvation, not for your eternal destiny. That's set in stone. That is set in the Rock of Ages, if you will. You are good to go. You're cool. You and God are cool. Is there a song like that, Sean? You and God are cool? Is Greg with us?
I am with you.
Oh, there he is. He would know this better than I. Please welcome our senior Cincinnati correspondent. He's been enjoying this little monologue so far. Please say hello to Mr. Greg Amberger. Gregory!
How's it going, Glenn? You didn't say, instead of across the Gulf of Mexico, you could just say up I-75.
Up the I-75.
Up the I-75. We're really only a couple of streets away from each other.
It's three turns and we're there, right?
Right.
In the Queen City, if you will.
Yes.
So, all right, so there's got to be a song like that, right?
Not that I know of. God is cool or something? Is that what you said?
We're cool with God. How about like, how do you like me now? How do you like... it's kind of the same thing. Gregory, what a difference a week makes. In fact, what a difference a 2 weeks makes. 2 weeks ago, I was bidding you adieu for what ended up being the final Gospel Revolution webcast. I thought we were just... finishing our second week or first week of the pledge drive to promote Mike's book One, The Gospel According to Mike. And then all hell broke loose over the weekend in my little personal life. This is a weekend ago, this last weekend, so about 10 days ago. So, and you guys who have logged on before have heard the story, you can log on to the archive last week, the show entitled Honoring Mike Williams, to hear about exactly what went down and why it went down. But here we are. So here's what happened. So Dean is in studio last week. And by the way, we'll be joined later on in the program by the founder of Facebook Love, Dina Lynn, from beautiful Dallas, Oregon. So stay logged on for that. But she's literally in studio. We're talking about what happened. We're talking about how Facebook Love played into it and the whole thing. We heard from Joe Klein, my oldest child of six, who's no child anymore, because he could definitely take me right now, if you know what I'm saying, Gregory.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And he calls me after the show and says, you want to go out for a drink? And I was like, I'm not feeling so good. I think I'm just got to get Dina to the airport. And so I'm just going to go home. So that's what we did. Dina and I left the studio here at the beautiful Sunbar Tanning Saloon, Massage Emporium, and Detox Center in beautiful Brandon, Florida. And we went home, and I got up early, as is my wont. It's about 5 o'clock, and I just was not feeling good. Made myself my Starbucks and had a little bit of yogurt, and I upchucked it in the garbage can. I mean, it was just I don't puke easily. But I couldn't hold it. Yeah. By the time that it was time to take Dina to Tampa Airport, I literally was sitting on my couch, on my laptop, sweating bullets. Now, I had contracted a virus or an infection. It doesn't make a difference how it happened. I know that I wasn't feeling well, but nothing like this. I wasn't expecting this. So I got Dina to the airport, and by the time I got home, I was supposed to go to a meeting after I dropped her off. There was no way I was doing that. By the time I got home, I was so sick. Like, I've never been sick like this before in my life that I can remember, where I couldn't hold any liquid down, certainly no food down. And I got into bed, and over the next 4 days, this started on Thursday morning, over the next 4 days, I basically spent the time, Greg, sweating, getting up, going to the bathroom, showering, doing laundry because I was running out of so many clothes and going through so many sheets, checking my laptop and doing it all over again. In the meantime, not only could I not drink, not only could anything except a little bit of sip of water, a little Gatorade, not only could I not eat anything, but I couldn't smoke either. I'm going to get into my history of smoking as the program unfurls, not necessarily tonight, but it's quite a story. I started smoking when I was 42 years old 10 years ago.
That's brilliant.
What kind of idiot starts smoking at 42? He's raising his hand right now in the Glenn Klein Online Studios. That's an interesting story. Nonetheless, I couldn't smoke. I puked when I tried. I tried to smoke. I couldn't do it. It made me sick to my stomach. So in about day 2.5, I'm sitting there going, I know that they say that it takes about 72 hours for the physical effects of the nicotine addiction to go. And then it's, you know, partially, obviously, some physical addiction, but a lot of mental and habitual addiction. Anyway, it's been 7 days since I smoked, and I haven't been able to say that for 10 years. So there you go. You never know what's going to happen in a week's time. I guess that's the point of the whole story.
Are you saying that was God's will?
No, I'm not saying. In fact, I'm not saying that's God's will at all. But I
didn't think you would.
I appreciate that. We know that God's will has got nothing to do with what you do or what I do, beautiful humans. God's will was established once and for all 2,000 years ago on this place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. I've been there. It's a pretty badass place. There's a place there in Jerusalem that actually looks like a skull. Whether that's the actual place or not, you can see how that's a possibility. You're standing on the Mount of Olives overlooking the old city in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, it's pretty cool. Gregory, by far, the most beautiful women in the world, the most beautiful people, men and women, for that matter. I'm not going to be a prejudice or exclusionary here. The most beautiful people on the planet are in the state of Israel.
Really?
You know why?
Why is that?
Because mutts make the best dogs. And in that little sliver of land, the size of New Jersey, is 120 countries represented. Amazing.
That is amazing.
So you got European Jews, you got South and North American Jews, you got Asian Jews, you got African, you got them all. And they as long as you're Jewish, it doesn't make difference what your skin color is. So you're all mixed in there. And the mutts make the best litter. There's no doubt about it.
All right. We'll have to go there and test your hypothesis someday.
There's no hypothesis. You ask any pro basketball player that's ended up finishing their career in Israel or traveling through Israel because they're in the European League, and they will tell you that by far the most beautiful women on the planet are in Israel.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't have a lot of pro basketball players on my speed dial, but... That's okay.
I do.
I'm going to just trust you with this.
I do.
Have a couple of pro basketball players on your speed dial.
I do. I certainly do. All right. Yeah. So you guys, you know the show is called Good News on Glenn Klein Online. And you might have seen the Good News indexed on the newsletter that went out today. And at the top of the list, Gregory, was the arrest of Creflo Dollar, the erstwhile so-called minister from Atlanta, Georgia.
I saw that.
Now, so why, you say, Glenn Klein Online, would you call the arrest of a minister of the so-called gospel, a Christian minister, why would that be good news?
I think he just got arrested for the wrong thing.
First of all, why don't you retell the beautiful humans, Gregory, what he was arrested for, and then what, in your humble opinion, he should have been arrested for?
Okay. Well, according to, I guess, the police report, there was a disturbance at his home. There was a dispute with his 15-year-old daughter. And I got to say right off the bat, I've had a 15-year-old daughter. I understand. I'm feeling his pain. But, Glenn, you've got a 15-year-old daughter, don't you?
As we speak. And
how's that working out for you?
It's working out great. And I'm so glad I got delivered from Christianity before she turned 15.
That's right. That's right. But apparently there was an issue. According to, I guess she called 911 or 341 Kids or one of those lines and said that her father had tried to choke her. And so the police showed up, and they found an abrasion on her neck, and took him in. And which they're going to do that 99 times out of 100, whether there is much evidence or not, just because.
Now you guys have to picture this. You've got Creflo Dollar coming out of his mansion. Just check out the news feeds on YouTube. It's beautiful. He's got just like a schleppy Saturday shirt on, you know. His mugshot is featured in this edition of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online newsletter, which, by the way, you can get, folks, just by going to glennklineonline.com. And right there at the top in the upper left-hand corner, you can subscribe to the newsletter. We're going to be talking about what was in this newsletter with Greg later on because it has had a significant impact on both his and my life. So he's arrested for some sort of abuse of his kid. His 15-year-old daughter made the call. You can listen to the 911 call on YouTube as well.
I didn't hear the 911 call.
Yeah, she was very articulate. She was very under control. She said that there was no physical signs that she had been choked or whatever. She was cool. And then his 19-year-old daughter confirmed that this was not the first time. So this is what he was arrested for. But, Greg, what should Creflo Dollar have been arrested for?
Breaking law and holding people in bondage to I think his main thrust is financial. He's become just a multi-millionaire with private jets and mansions and you know, condo in New York and everything else. Based on him promising people that if they'll give to his ministry, they'll prosper and be blessed by the Lord. And can we say bullshit on your show?
I don't see why not.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, we call bullshit on Creflo Dollar. In fact,
we do. We call bullshit on Creflo Dollar.
A man who likes to call bullshit a lot, and we love him for a lot of reasons, is also online with us. He's going to join the panel now. Please welcome from the great state of Virginia, the lover state, our senior correspondent from Virginia, Germa Colson. Germa!
Hello, Glenn and Greg.
Germa, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you all doing?
I don't think I've ever talked directly with Germa.
Wow. Another historic moment here, ladies and gentlemen, at Glenn Klein Online. And here's another historic moment. You guys are being heard live from beautiful, magical Maui. Steve Trueblood just emailed us from the great state of Hawaii. We look forward to hearing from Blood in the near future. Thank you, Steve. So, Germ, you're hearing this conversation. Greg's calling bullshit on Creflo Dollar. But what we want to do now is we want to take you guys. I know some of you don't even know who Creflo Dollar is, but believe me, he is having a huge impact, not only just on the people that are under his teaching, but on the society. As Mike Williams so brilliantly once said, that condemnation and guilt and judgment have been institutionalized in our society. And this is one of the greatest offenders that is. His broadcasts are heard nationally and internationally. And several weeks ago, actually, I don't know, 2 months ago, I guess, we had a segment about Creflo, about how he wanted to have people who were not tithers, who did not give 10% of their income to the local church, murdered. And just to set up, because we're going to have Creflo's comments to his church following his arrest, this last Sunday, but to set up, just to give you an idea how whacked out this guy, and frankly, how violently he thinks, let us revisit this little segment from last April.
I mean, I thought about when we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off and, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world dome. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up.
Access denied.
The red and blue lights would start going, the siren would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome. Crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them, and once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass out Uzis by the ushers. We'd point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church. And at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we'd take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing.
We'd have the anointing after we buried all the nine tithers who had been shot by Uzis.
Did you hear the nervous laughter in the background? I mean, even the people in his own church, that was making them uncomfortable.
Well, I would hope so, that there was some...
Even his, as he calls them later today, his sheep.
Right. We're not going to hear the whole segment. But you guys can YouTube both that thing. That's just Creflo Dollar on tithing. You can YouTube that. That's available. But also the segment that we're going to get to about his... Well, it wasn't an apology. He didn't apologize to his church. He just made it his case. This is just on Sunday. And the one of the great things that we've learned from Michael over these last several years is that part of our heritage, gentlemen, is to condemn the teachings of judgment. Creflo Dollar is not condemned. Creflo Dollar is perfect and righteous and holy and sanctified and redeemed. He is as righteous as Yeshua HaMashiach himself. But his teachings are so full of shit that it could not be stated any more clearly than that. Gerb, when you hear Creflo Dollar talk about getting ready to shoot the non-tithers so they can have the presence of God and have church, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, my initial thoughts is, you know, whether he's kidding or whether he's being serious. I mean, that's just it's just crazy. I mean, it kind of it scares me to because it's I don't know, just kind of reminds me of the days of the Crusades when and those other times, Dark Ages, when Christians would go around killing people for not converting
or not tithing. He was suggesting that people be killed for not tithing. Greg, how fair do you think it is to say that the only thing between the difference between what Germa's talking about, the Inquisitions and the Crusades, and the time that Creflo Dollar is living in, is that he just couldn't get away with it now? I mean, if he could, he would do it.
Yeah, and while we're on this subject, I think it's that one of the most awesome things in the history of mankind for bringing about reform of this kind of crap is YouTube and the ability for people to just film and record every stupid thing these guys say every Sunday and then broadcast it. Because they have to start thinking in the back of their mind that every single thing they say, every stupid remark is going to end up on YouTube. And it does. I'm probably not every stupid one, but a lot of the stupid remarks end up on YouTube. So there's going to be a lot of reform that comes to the church just because these pastors can't say this ridiculous stuff. Like, for instance, what we heard with that little kid singing the song about Ain't No Homo Gonna Make It to Heaven. There's been outrage all over the internet about that.
Whoa, what? I have no idea what
you're
talking about.
Last week there was a viral video of a Pentecostal church where this little tiny kid, he was about 5 years old, was up reading some poem, and the last line to the poem was "Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven." Just YouTube "no homo in heaven" or something. It'll come up.
What was he? Was he singing it or just?
He was kind of rapping it.
Like how did it sound?
"Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven," and the whole church erupts in laughter and cheering, and some of them are getting their Pentecostal shout on. About being excited that I guess homosexuals are all going to burn in hell forever.
Okay, wait,
and so
wait, wait,
when,
wait,
when
wait,
that,
wait,
when
wait,
that
wait,
thing
wait,
went viral,
wait, hold on.
They,
Can you do it one more time, please?
Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven.
Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven. Ain't no hetero gonna make it to heaven if Christianity is right. But
yeah,
they're
exactly.
not right. All right, so here's what happens, you guys, just for the sake of time, because we've got Girma Colston from Virginia, we got Greg Amberge from Ohio, and we want to hear from you guys. We got a phone line available to you. We're going to call that the official Mike Williams phone line that is available at all times at 1-800-436-3260. Maybe Mike will call in. 800-436-3260 or toll-free, or all over the world, rather. That is a toll-free line. 813-425-5773 will get you in wherever you're listening from if it is not in North America. All right, so here's what happens, you guys. This vicar of Christianity, Creflo Dollar, gets arrested. Now, everybody that is involved in the news media and Christianity and Christendom is focused in kind of like a Jimmy Swagger moment. Remember, Girma, when Jimmy Swagger came on and said, "I have sinned," and he's, you know, bawling his eyes out when he got caught being human. When Jimmy Swagger got caught being human. And now here Creflo Dollar is caught being human. He's pissed off at his daughters. He's probably more physical with them than he should be. Apparently he was trying to spank his 15-year-old daughter because she wasn't being respectful. So this is after there's idol worship. You guys can go and see. There's about a 13-minute clip. We're not going to do the whole thing. But as is our want, we are going to play segments and comment on this comment, this little sermonette from Creflo Dollar as Sean answers the phone. This is last Sunday. Here we go.
There are two things that are for certain in the life of a Christian parent. Number one is that we win. Number two is that test will come to try and shake your faith.
All right, stop the computer. All right, first of all, this is classic Word of Faith doctrine, gentlemen, right here. There's two things that are guaranteed in the life of a Christian parent. Number one, we win. What the hell does that mean, Greg?
It's exactly wrong as far as Christianity goes. I mean, my parents would not say that the way I've turned out is a win for them. I mean, they spend inordinate amounts of time worrying about my eternal destiny. So they're not guaranteed in the way they think a win. I mean, if they came over to our way of thinking, they're guaranteed a win. No.
Well,
I think
here, that's right. From the Christian doctrine,
it's better to abort a kid than to let it come into life,
right,
according to Christian doctrine.
Right, because that way, well, even strict Christian doctrine would say that, no, that they would go to hell too because they didn't have a chance to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But some Christian doctrine says, well, you have that age of accountability. But the bottom line is that, ironically, Creflo Dollar is right from the standpoint that whether you're a Christian parent or not, you do win, because no matter what happens to your child, no matter what happens to you in this life, you end up being found in God because of the sacrifice of Yeshua. I mean, Girma, that's good news even for Creflo Dollar.
Yeah.
That's all you got, a yeah for me? That was a good yeah. And what was the second thing that the trials will come to steal your faith, to rob you of your faith. Girm, what would you say to Creflo Dollar about having your faith robbed from you?
I would just say that even if your faith is robbed from you, it doesn't matter. The faith of Christ is enough, and that's what justified us.
That's a huge problem that people have, is they've misinterpreted and it's been mistranslated, the faith of Christ versus faith in Christ. It's the faith of Christ, you guys. You if you had no faith, if you're the greatest, if you're Madeleine Murray O'Hare, you're the greatest atheist ever, the faith of Christ still redeems you. So his opening statements is full of craplo, as Richard Mull mentioned last April. Let's continue.
And I want to say this very emphatically. I should have never been arrested.
Greg already demonstrated why that was not a true statement, but
never. And when the facts of this come out, you will be appalled. Thank you so much for your love and your prayers. But you've got to understand something. It's not as much against me as it is this message of grace.
All right, stop the frickin' computer.
Can I go first?
It's not the listen what Craplo Dollar said. He said it's not against me. It's the message, this message of grace. Yes, please go, Greg.
Well, for one thing, I was involved in the Word of Faith movement for a while. So were you. So was Mike. And we know, I know that throughout Christianity, of every single strain of Christianity that there is, and I've been to a lot of the different churches, the Word of Faith movement is the most, has the most lack of grace in it of any doctrine in Christianity, because every single thing in the Word of Faith movement is what you do. Every single thing, every word you say, every thought you think, they think has something to do with the way things turn out. And so it makes you crazy, because it's not just your works about not committing a sin or not committing adultery or something that we normally consider a sin. It's every single thought you think, you have to bring it into submission.
Right.
It's craziness.
It's insanity. It is insanity. And that is why Creflo Dollar should have been arrested for crimes against humanity. He should be arrested for crimes against the human soul. If it was possible to do, I would do it. But it's not possible.
Amount of grace. There's not one iota of grace in the Word of Faith movement. Not a bit. And for him to say that, because he's going to use this as a fundraising campaign, I'll bet his contributions are way up. You need a crisis like this, get the givers going good. But for him to say something like that is just ridiculous.
It's absurd. Girma, what you got?
Well, I mean, I couldn't really make out everything he said through the phone and everything, but I got the gist of it that, I agree with you that, if it were possible, I mean, this is a crime against the soul, really.
You guys, you have to understand that the grace message, or Girma is one of the greatest proponents probably on the planet on Facebook of the grace message. Grace literally means unconditional acceptance, just being completely and utterly accepted by God no matter what. And here this guy that we prefaced these comments with his comments about having an entry card that's to prove if you are a tither or not, and whether you tithe or not would determine whether you stayed in the church and alive. That's not grace. More Creflo Dollar.
The devil knows, in order to discredit the message, you have to, first of all, discredit the messenger.
All right. In fact, that's enough. I'm about to puke. One of the greatest things that we have learned, Girma Colston, over these many years of the webcast with Mike Williams, is that the message cannot be discredited by the messenger. Why is that? Why is the gospel so perfect that no matter how somebody who delivers the message behaves, acts towards a friend, acts towards a spouse, acts towards a congregation, or even a society, it will never discredit the message?
Because it's the power of God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Girma.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were trying to get in, but I was just saying that because the gospel is the power of God. I mean, that's my take on it, is that the power of God cannot be negated through our actions or through our attitudes or our mannerisms. It's a supernatural work. That's what the gospel is. I mean, the truth is truth, and it's unchanging.
Right. It would be like, Greg, if somebody said to Sir Isaac Newton, who discovered the reality of gravity, that obviously impacts everybody, the same way the gospel, the grace of God, impacts everybody equally, regardless of where what they know about it, regardless if they know anything about it. If somebody said to Sir Isaac Newton, you can't teach on gravity because we know that you beat your daughter, or you were unkind to your dog, or you cheated on your wife, or you chewed tobacco, or you had too much to drink on Friday night, Sir Isaac Newton, so you can't teach on gravity. Sir Isaac Newton's behavior never affected his ability to teach on gravity, nor should any person's behavior on any issue of truth, especially the ultimate truth, which was we are all perfect and righteous and holy and one and equal in the sight of Almighty God. That's good news.
That's very good news, because God knows, Glenn, me and you, we would be disqualified because we're kind of human.
Gurm, would you be disqualified?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dude, you guys, I mean, left-handers would be disqualified, for God's sake. That wouldn't be good. We love the southpaws. All right, fellas,
yeah.
We got to fly. This went too fast, too much fun.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, just stay logged on. You guys are going to enjoy this next segment.
Okay.
All right. There's Double G, Greg and Gurma. Greg Ambergy from Ohio. Gurma Colston from the great state of Virginia. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the inaugural Best of Mike Williams segment, and the perfect segue, actually, to this segment. I mean, it's actually a perfect situation, a description by Michael from the Gospel Revolution webcast several months ago. This is in the wake of what we've been hearing about this horrific situation in Atlanta with Creflo Dollar. We're going to hear some music from Kate. There we go. This is the intro to the Best of Mike Williams segment. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online, coming to you live right now, or on the archives if you're listening to the archives. Let's listen to Kate from Australia. She's not a Christian.
I believe the world is won. I am not a Christian. I believe the battle's won. I am not. And I believe the kingdom's come. I am not a Christian. One light lit up everyone. I am not a Christian. Yeah.
One of the most powerful things that Michael has bestowed upon us is to be able to continue to embrace Christ, to continue to be able to embrace the scriptures and words like gospel, and understand that we're not Christians and why we're not Christians. And Mike was posed with the question by yours truly on a webcast recently. Should we be about the business of reforming and restoring Christianity? And why is it, Michael, that we do not want Christianity to be revived, resurrected, reignited, renewed, or anything of that genre?
Well, if you're going to revive or bring back Christianity in some form, first off, you've got to kill off all 50,000 different denominations that are out there. What is it you're trying to revive? What is it you want to reform? You've got to kill off all these other ideas, or you're just going to add another idea to the, to this fungus. And that's really, as nicely as I can speak of Christianity, is just a fungus. And it's a parasite at best, and, an absolute predator at worst. So there's really nothing to revive. I mean, you know, we speak of Christianity like, oh, I am not a Christian. Oh, my God, how could you say you're not a Christian? But I could say I'm not a Mormon, and that would be fine. I could say I'm not a Catholic, and that would be fine to people who aren't Catholics. I could say I'm not a Baptist. Catholics would be fine with that. And vice versa. I could say I'm Pentecostal, and the Baptists would be thrilled. Or the Baptists would be really disappointed if I'm Pentecostal. I could say I'm Baptist, and the Pentecostals would say, boy, you don't have it all. So what I can't even connect with that anymore. Now that I understand the gospel as being this incredible news that has no requirement on man whatsoever, for redemption. In fact, Christianity, all branches of Christianity make it very clear there is some form of qualification. I don't care to the, what extreme you go to, from the ultimate extremes of Pentecostalism to the ultimate rigidity and just tradition of Catholicism. It all requires something out of man to have redemption from God. Therefore, I am not a Christian.
Yes, therefore we are not Christians. Thank you, Michael, and thank you for logging on to the good news on Glenn Klein Online. Keep us together. We're taking your calls. Actually, Sean is at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. That's the toll-free number in North America. Or you can call us all over the world. It's about 20 minutes till 10 o'clock on the east coast of the USA. Give us a call at 813-425-5773. Well, that, I don't know if that's the official Facebook love music, but it's pretty good. And regardless of what one's perspective is, the thing that keeps us together, the thing that keeps us one, that keeps us realizing that we are not Christians, that everybody, whether they're atheist, Buddhist, Baptist, Jewish, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, Shintoist, Confucius, Hindu, that they're all one, they're all perfectly righteous, is the love of God. That's what keeps us together. And now a woman that has dedicated her life to that principle, and you know her, you love her, it'd be hard to live without her. Please welcome online the founder of Facebook Love, Dina Lynn from beautiful Dallas, Oregon. Dina!
Hello.
Dina!
Hi.
I miss you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was kind of interesting logging on today from the phone versus there in studio, like I was the last 2 weeks.
Right. It's more fun in studio, isn't it, honey?
It was definitely fun. I got to sit there and look at Sean. It was always entertaining and fun.
He's a good
looking. I'm looking at a wall.
But what is on the wall?
Mosquito netting and bling and pictures. Yeah, it's just a wall.
And the classic Dina Lynn artistic mode, no doubt.
That too. Yeah, I can't do normal walls, so it's just a wall in my rendition. Yeah.
So for those of you guys that are just logging on for the first time, which would be unusual, we're happy to have you. But we're not going to rehearse everything that's happened to this date. But Dina and Facebook Love have not been a small part of the fact that we're doing the show right now without Mike Williams. And correct?
Yeah.
So
I kind of factored in there.
And we appreciate that factoring, of course. So here's what happens is that we find out Dina's here visiting, and you guys, both on Facebook Love and on even last week's archive, you can hear the whole story of what happened, why it happened, why we're at where we are right now. But Dina, suffice it to say, was in studio for the last couple weeks, has joined the webcast on Wednesday night for about the last 2 months, and was visiting your friendly neighborhood talk show host here in Tampa in the middle of all this. And then a week ago Saturday, we went to a baseball game, to the Tampa Bay Rays baseball game. And you were having some – and the reason we're having – involving you guys in this is because you've been involved in it since day one, and it does involve you. It certainly is part of the history of Facebook Love, as well as the Gospel Revolution and Glenn Klein Online. And I know there's a lot of people out there that care about both you and me, Dee. So you come here to visit, and we go to the baseball game, and you were coming to the realization that maybe this intensity of love and this exclusivity and this relationship that we were beginning to experience together probably was not going to pan out the way that we might have thought, or the maybe the way that we might have liked. We get back from the baseball game. I see these series of emails from Mike, not yet having completely cut me off from Gospel Revolution land, but you're telling me basically that our relationship as it was is now history, exactly at the second that I get the email from Mike where he is disavowing any relationship with me publicly. It, literally at that second. Is that an accurate rendition?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sitting on the one couch, you're on the other, and I'm pretty much pouring out my heart to you to tell you how I don't have my heart to give. And as I'm explaining this to you, and not wanting to cause damage, but honoring you enough to want to be honest with you, you get the email, the final email from Michael Williams, letting you know that while he wants a personal relationship with you, that you will no longer have a public professional connection to him. And I'm thinking, can I say shit? I think, oh shit, the timing, and I just wanted to back up and pick a better time, and yet it was like the perfect storm for you being given the incredible opportunity to look at your whole life and decide what works and what doesn't from here out.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm. And
yeah.
And you guys, again, just go to Facebook Love or the good news on Glenn Klein Online on Facebook. And I tell the whole story about how it went from that moment to Dina looking at me and saying, why are you smiling? And I realized after you said it, I was smiling. And I was saying, because I'm kind of happy. I'm happy that my kids are alive. They're healthy. It's one of the greatest things that I've learned from Michael, and we've learned from Michael over these many years, is how important perspective and information is. This is not the most horrible thing that could happen to somebody, to be publicly humiliated by their best friend and their closest confidant. And Michael did publicly humiliate me. There's no doubt about it. It was soft-pedaled a little bit. And you guys will be interested to know that I had my first correspondence from Michael since this all happened 10 days ago. Today, very light, very loose, only on email. And we're going to continue to walk through this together. I could not disagree more with how Michael handled this situation. And frankly, Dee, I could not agree more with how you handled your situation, how you continue to handle your situation. Transparently, openly. Have we talked every single day since that happened?
We have, either most days by phone, and definitely every day through through Facebook, through corresponding that way, and emails. And I stayed. I broke up with you a week ago Saturday, and then I stayed through until Thursday because you were doing your own launching of your radio show. I wanted to be part of it. I had supported everything so far, and I don't believe in writing people off. I don't believe that once there is a relationship that there should be a cessation of the relationship. I mean, there isn't. In reality, and I didn't want to play the game to do breakup 101 and erase you as if you didn't happen in my life or that we didn't connect. And it doesn't mean that it ends. It means it evolves. It changes. And I'm willing to go with that flow. I'm willing to see what happens.
I think out of that,
there's still gifts to unpack. You know, there's still
gifts.
Human
unpacked.
Beings have
like
incredible things.
And yeah. you coined a new phrase coming out of that, because of course everybody talks about it coming out of a breakup. They want to be friends, but you talked about being beyond friends. I really like that. What did you mean by that?
Well, when two people have any kind of a relationship that involves a level of intimacy that goes beyond what I would deem surface, when there's a connection, an intersection of two lives where parts are shared that you wouldn't necessarily share with everybody else. I talked to your children. You talked to mine. I met your family. I stayed in your home. I got involved in your world.
Met my ex-wife, for God's sakes.
I hugged your ex-wife.
You hugged my ex-wife.
I liked your ex-wife.
You liked my ex-wife. She liked you, God damn it.
I bonded with three of your children. Well, four, actually. Well, no, five. Well,
no, it's all six.
Most of them.
No, all six. No, you bonded with all six. Yes, you did.
I did. Even one across the miles. And when that happens, those two people are forever altered in some kind of a way. I mean, quantum physics shows us that if two molecules interact, you separate them by the miles, they will still be affected by what affects one, what affects the other. And there are different degrees of affectation, of course. But for me, the idea of just that trite, oh, let's be friends, which means I don't want you to hate me, I'm going to disappear now, doesn't work for me. I've never rejected or evacuated anyone from my life. People have done so to me. I get it, but I don't want to do that to anybody. So for me, the idea of having a beyond friend means you have seen me, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise that you haven't seen me. You've heard some of my stories. You know my history. You've impacted my life. I've impacted yours. To pretend otherwise would be dishonest, and there's no reason for it to turn into anything ugly or pretensive. So when I called you a beyond friend, it's a status that not everybody gets. I'm open, but it just doesn't always happen.
Right. Well, so I am honored and privileged to have the beyond Dina friend status, quite frankly.
Well,
And I cherish that. But do you feel like sharing why you felt relatively early on your trip here to Tampa, that this was not mm-hmm. going to be able to continue as an exclusive or romantic mm-hmm. type of friendship, if you will?
Well, it mostly came down to mostly me. I became aware that my own heart, my own emotional capacity to be still tied up in a previous relationship, that I was not free to give what I think you or anyone that I would be exclusive with would give. And once I knew that, it became a matter of, first of all, making sure I didn't want to be shortchanging myself or you or what we'd experienced. I wanted to be sure we had invested a lot of time, energy, and focus. I mean, my gosh, it was like breaking up with 1,200 people. There were 1,200 people on Facebook watching this happen. And I could not be less than fully, completely, honestly open with everybody in that mix. So I had to know, and I gave it more time, and I did a whole lot of soul searching, and it came down to where I didn't have what it took. I didn't have all of me to share, and I had to let you know as soon as possible, as honestly as possible, and as kindly as possible. I certainly didn't want to cause harm, and I did not know the timing of how this would be a double whammy for you. That was totally unforeseen.
Right.
Ironic, yes.
It's ironic, as I said in my newsletter about this, in my letter on Facebook Love, and on the good news on Glenn Klein Online Facebook pages, that the ironic thing is that what got me through this double whammy, it was literally an instantaneous double whammy, was Dina's support and what I learned from Mike. The two people that were presenting me with these challenges were the very mm-hmm. ones that had given me the strength to endure and persevere and overcome suffering and loss. And so that was really a powerful experience. I do not agree with Dina's assertion that what she's saying for herself, which obviously is completely 100% true for herself, needs to be true for every person. Dina, you might even agree with that statement, that if it, just because a person's not 100% available for somebody in a monogamous or exclusive relationship doesn't mean that that kind of relationship cannot ensue and continue. It was just that for you, that wasn't a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally had to honor myself. I've learned that there's a certain amount of what may be deemed as selfish that absolutely has to be there. The adage of put on your own oxygen mask before you help somebody else. If I can't love, honor, and respect myself for who and how I am, then I'm personally not good for anybody else. So this was a personal,
right? See, because for me,
I simply had to honor.
Right, and for me, you guys, I mean, I have incredibly strong feelings for the aforementioned ex-wife, Dawn, who I love dearly to this day, for the other women in my life that I've been in love with, and yet I still have this very special place for Dina. So it's really a personal, very personal thing. But the beautiful thing about Dina Lynn is that she continues to emote and articulate and communicate openly and transparently. And that is what Facebook Love is all about. Facebook Love, you guys, is a secret site. What does that mean, Dee, on Facebook?
And how, we can never mention it, and we have to kill those who hear that.
Okay, Creflo Dollarette.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so, but if somebody wants to read our posts and read our blogs and stuff, how do they get on Facebook Love?
Well, here's sort of the story behind why it is secret. When I first began this group, it was open, and then as people were pouring out their hearts and their stories and finally finding a place where they could share something that was valid for them, how they met someone that they cared about on Facebook, and it was often ridiculed by others in their lives, and here was a place where it was validated and made real and honored, and these stories were coming out, and a couple of people mentioned, is this open? Is someone else going to read? And I realized I had to safeguard this information. I had the choice between a closed group and a secret group, and without giving it a whole lot of thought and thinking I could do it later, I selected secret for utmost protection. But Facebook's rules are, if you have more than 300 members, and we were over 300 in the first 45 minutes.
Right.
If you have more than 300 members, you cannot change because these people have joined.
All right. So just for the sake of time, how do people who want to get on, get on Facebook?
Friend me or Glenn. I am Dina Lynn, DenaLynn space in the middle, on Facebook, and you'll know pretty quick that it's me once you get on there, or Glenn Klein, KLEIN, two N's, we both have strange names, friend us and ask to be joined to Facebook Love. We will send you, it's not an invitation, we add you on. If it's not for you, please feel free to let yourself leave. If it is for you, stay on board.
Exactly. All right, we got to go. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
There goes Dina Lynn from Facebook Love. Thank you. Good night now. There she goes from the great Northwest. We still have time. She's been patient. We want to get back to the whole issue of Creflo Dollar. Please welcome from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, Debbie Bronze is online. Debbie!
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Hey, I'm a friend of Dina's. I know her well. I know her online.
Are you on Facebook Love?
I might be. I just don't keep up with a lot of things.
Okay.
But I know her from a couple of Christian Yahoo lists.
Right.
And this was, I met her, maybe 3-4 years ago, I suppose. And we've gotten to know each other, exchanged emails. And sweet lady. I guess you want me to weigh in on Creflo Dollar.
Well, that's what Sean told me you were calling about.
Yes. Anyway, my husband and I, my family, in fact, we attended a house church in downtown Atlanta. And we'd get stragglers come in. You know, people come in from time to time, you know. We had a steady group, but sometimes we'd have visitors. And one woman came in, and she was recently divorced and had two children. And she was very conflicted about Creflo Dollar and the church. And they had basically, she was unable to tithe. And immediately, of course, they condemned her. And she was unable to make money in order to tithe. And it was this vicious cycle of condemnation. And these are real people.
It's unbelievable, the damage. When I say that this guy, you could list all of them. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Pat Robertson. It doesn't make a difference who it is. The damage that these the Pope what's the Pope's name now?
Benedict.
Pope Benedict. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make a difference what your name is. The religious leaders at Penn State University that made the decision about Jerry Sandusky, including the late great Joe Paterno. These were all religious thinking people that made decisions that were devastating and that are devastating to other beautiful humans.
It's just amazing. You know, my husband and I actually, we were in a cult for a number of years, but I don't see
It was called Word of Faith Christianity.
Yeah, there you go.
What was your flavor of choice, Deb?
This was the Way International, and this was back in, 77 to 87. We were in roughly those years, and they suck you in. There's a lot of good. And there was a lot of good Bible teaching and a lot of blessings, but I think that the trick is that they sort of have you equate any blessings that you might, you know, coincidences and things like that, you know, just things, you know, blessings that you get just by having jewel
by breathing and stuff, you mean?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Debbie, we're up against the clock. Will you promise me that you'll call back?
Oh, when?
Next week would be great.
Next week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And,
sure.
And your last name is Bronze?
Actually, it's Brons.
O-S.
Yeah.
And and how do you pronounce it?
Bronze. Yeah, and like the metal. Mm-hmm.
And what's your husband's name?
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Well, actually, he's watching TV. I am in the laundry room.
Well, this will be archived on glennkleinonline.com, and you'll be able to listen
cool.
to it. And Bill will be able to hear me greet him as well. Glad you got out of the cult. Thanks, Deb.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. We'll make
Bye.
Sure you get on Facebook Love.
Okay, thanks.
There goes Debbie Bronze from Atlanta, Georgia. And that's, Sean, that's it. That does it for us. I mean, you made it through, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something earlier that I didn't want to interrupt you guys talking, but, you know, if it's coming down to pay to get into church, or if you can't pay, then you're going to be killed,
yeah.
Then you wouldn't see me at church.
We don't see you at church now. Because you realize, Sean O'Halloran, that you are the church. You are the body of the living Christ. Hallelujah to you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for being the producer, call screener, and engineer extraordinaire of Good News on Glenn Klein Online. Also want to thank Greg Ambergy from Cincinnati, Ohio, Germa Colson from Stafford, Virginia, Dina Lynn from beautiful Dallas, Oregon, Debbie Bronze, our new friend from Atlanta, got to make sure she's on Facebook Love, and the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. Can we listen to this music for a little bit?
I wish I was with Jesus when you loved me. I would have been a better me. That much I can guarantee. Now I'm on your doorstep and you're asking me to leave.
That's going to do it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for logging on. I want to thank Craig Finn for such a great rendition of my new friend Jesus. Until next week, let us hear from you at coach@glennkleinonline.com. Recommend the newsletter to your friends at GlennKleinOnline.com. And until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!
Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Got a
got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus.